This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on Pan India expansion of Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao program. The participants are Dr. Ajay Khera from Ministry of Health and Family Welfare and Aditi Tandon, journalist.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi was in Rajasthan, Junjunu today, and he has launched a very important expansion program, Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao, which was previously being implemented in about 161 districts, will now be implemented across India in 640 districts. Another important launch that the Prime Minister today presided over was the launch of the National Nutrition Mission, in which the Health Ministry and Ministry of Women and Child Development have been working together for a very long time. Dr. Khera, both these challenges are very significant to India, considering nutrition is pulling back a lot of our demographic dividend, and secondly, very low child sex ratio is a continuous challenge. We've been fighting it over the years. How do you look at the expansion of Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao and the consequent launch of the National Nutrition Mission from Rajasthan today?
Both the programs which you just made a reference, they are very important in terms of overall improvement of the health of the people, and in particular the health of the mother and the children. Obviously, if the health of the mother and children is better, we are going to get, the good economic gains. So I think the kind of the investment which is being made in these two programs are going to have a major difference in terms of overall health outcome of the populations. Particularly, I will like to make a reference on the issue of National Nutrition Mission, because nutrition is such a problem which is cross-cutting, which is linked to the actions being done by a variety of sectors. That's why this National Nutrition Mission, which is being launched, is a unique program that it is trying to do a convergent action. Because nutrition, improving the nutritional health of the children, does not imply that only food is to be given. Even if you provide food, other things in terms of medical care, other things in terms of sanitation, they also have to be provided. So that's why one of the major theme of the National Nutrition Program is convergence. Convergence in real terms, bringing all the programs together, only then we should be able to make a difference. The second important theme of the nutrition mission is that they are trying to make a continuous, kind of a real-time monitoring. And I think everybody will be convinced that unless you monitor the program, you will not be able to make a change. That's why second important element in this National Nutrition Mission is, kind of a real-time monitoring, and that's being done. For the whole program, there are ambitious targets in terms of reducing malnutrition by 2% per year. It's a very ambitious target, because if you look at the data of the past, it indicates that, we were declining by less than 1% per year. Now the target is to reduce our stunting, reduce our undernutrition, even reduce the low birth weight children being born by 2% per year. And there is a separate element of anemia reduction, which also says that we have to reduce anemia by 3% per year. Now, in terms of, the Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao, which is a really marvelous program, which has shown a great success. And even if you look at those, NFHS data, they also indicate a very, very significant improvement. Improvement of 5 points in the so-called child sex ratio, which has moved from, 914 to 919. So that means I think we are on the right track, and we are trying to save girls. We are trying to educate girls, and ultimately I think it's like empowering girls, and they will become an economic force for the country. So I think both the programs have a very long-term kind of implications, and it is really good for the health of the population as a whole.
Right. You just mentioned that the child sex ratio has improved, and the new National Health Family Survey data is indicative of that. If we look at the 161 districts where Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao campaign was launched by the Prime Minister in 2015 January from Panipat, we also see improvement in child sex ratio trends. But let us not forget also, Dr. Khera, that a larger challenge before us, because this is mostly an awareness generation program with a lot of high budget component. If I remember right, the Cabinet Committee of Economic Affairs has set aside around 1100 crore rupees for expansion of Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao alone. Now, coming to the mindset issues, if we look at even the caste data, if we look at the religion-wise breakup of child sex ratio, we get a lot of interesting ideas from there. We get a lot of interesting insight. The Muslims, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Buddhists and the Jains, there are very significant telling signs for us in also the religion-wise breakup by the Registrar General of India. And we actually see that among the Jains and the Parsis and the Buddhists, the child sex ratio is the best, and among Muslims, Sikhs and Hindus, it is wavering. So how do you plan to target these mindset issues? And it's not really a rural problem also. We see that urban India is grappling more and more with that. In the heart of South Delhi, we keep hearing of sex selection all the time, even today after this program. And also, if you could comment briefly on the success of the Preconception and Prenatal Diagnostics Act, because it is the Health Ministry which is monitoring the progress of the Act.
What you said is absolutely right. Child sex ratio, as you said, is a mindset. In order to change the mindset, many actions have to be carried out. But we also have to remember that this mindset is linked with a variety of things which are happening around them. I'll give an example. If the woman is not sure that this particular child is going to be saved, so they keep producing children, you know. So if we provide, you know, best of health in the community, people will have a confidence, and then people will be sure that this particular girl will be saved. And then once she's saved, she'll be educated, and she becomes a, you know, kind of an important, you know, member of the community. So I think this is a long drawn process. That's why you just made a reference that lot of investment is happening, because the outcomes are going to be phenomenal. So that's why. And then the second thing is, you know, besides changing the mindset, because Ministry of Health implements a program which is called as PCPNDT Act, because as you know that there's a lot of technological advancements are happening, and with the technological advancements, you know, people come to know that whether the unborn child, unborn fetus in the womb is a male or a female, and the ultrasound machines are available, and it is not a costly intervention. So that's why Government of India came up with this particular act, where all the ultrasound clinics are registered. Every ultrasound clinic, they have to display a kind of a board. And you know, there are kind of a very, very standing instructions that what needs to be done. And they have to clearly mention that sex determination is prohibited in the clinics. And by this kind of approach and by this kind of a regulation, many states, particularly I think Haryana is a great example. And there are a number of districts where they have been able to catch hold of, you know, culprits who were doing this kind of a mischief, who were doing sex determination.
So, an important part of the implementation of any major national program is fear of the law. Like you just said, PC and PNDT Act is being implemented by your ministry. It remains to be seen whether radiologists and doctors are actually in letter and spirit following this act, because newspapers are full of reports of sex selection, and although raids have increased over the years and a lot of implementation strengthening has also happened. But can you comment on what is the progress under the act, since your ministry directly looks at the act? How many convictions have happened? How many ultrasonologists have been delicensed? How many clinics have been closed down?
I can give you, some kind of information based on this PCPNDT Act implementation. The numbers which are available with me, so far a total of, around 2007 machines have been sealed and seized for the violation of the law. More than 2000 machines in 2017. And a total of around 4000 court cases have been filed by the district appropriate authorities under the Act. And around 449 convictions have so far been secured. So that means that there is a lot of progress, and following conviction, the medical licenses of around 118 doctors have been suspended. 118, I think.
And this is from the inception of the Act.
Yes. So there is a lot of progress to my mind, because recently, we reviewed the program. We have a quarterly progress report which says that there are around 60,000 clinics have been registered under the PCPNDT Act.
So you are saying you are on the right track.
Yeah.
And now with government's political will also to improve child sex ratio, you'll get somewhere. Now, coming back to your own favorite topic, Dr. Khera, nutrition. You yourself mentioned a while ago that it's not an easy task. We've seen that the National Family Health Survey just came out, the National Family Health Survey 4, told us that first we have to look at the three indicators of nutrition and undernutrition. One is, of course, underweight babies. Second is stunting. And third is wasting. So if we look at underweight, still a problem with our country, about 38.4%, if I'm correct.
Right, yes.
So what are your targeted interventions to improve nutrition?
Actually, in order to understand the undernutrition level in the community, there are three indicators. Stunting is an indicator of a chronic undernutrition. And wasting is the indicator of a acute undernutrition. And underweight is a kind of an indicator which measures both acute undernutrition as the chronic undernutrition. But overall, the point which you said is that overall stunting has reduced by 1 percentage point per year in the last decade. And similarly, the underweight has also reduced by 1%. But the wasting overall has remained more or less the same. It was 19%, it became 20%. You're saying increases, okay, but I think there has been no change in wasting level in the community. Now, the important reasons are why this is happening. Because wasting is an indication which is linked to the availability of the food, which is linked to the food practices, we call it infant and child feeding practices. And the number three is the repeated infections. These are the three major reasons which leads to acute undernutrition, which is called as the wasting. Now, one of the important observations which has been noticed in the NFHS data, there is something called as the complementary feeding. Complementary feeding means a feeding which has to start after the 6 months. After the breastfeeding, 0 to 6 months, we say exclusive breastfeeding. And after 6 months, the mother's milk is not enough. I mean, one has to be supplemented by a complementary feeding. Now, the worrisome findings were in the NFHS 4R that less than 20% of the children get the right kind of food, which is called as the complementary food. So that's why under this National Nutrition Mission, there are special efforts are being put to address the issues around complementary feeding. Somehow, you know, we lost sight of this element of complementary feeding. Now, there is a lot of emphasis on complementary feeding, and we are hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to address the issue of so-called the wasting.
You also mentioned anemia, Dr. Khera, and we have to acknowledge that our efforts at anemia prevention and control have not yielded much result. The ICMR has now started some kind of scientific studies to actually look at why we haven't succeeded so far. We have this long-standing program called the National Nutrition Anemia Prophylaxis Program, 47-year-old program, which has been modified over the years. Children have been added to it, 1 to 12 years of children. But why is it that India is unable to improve on its anemia indicators?
No, I think usually because we are also worried about anemia. To my understanding, you know, because this is one of the oldest programs, overall management of anemia is very simple. That one has to take iron folic acid as a preventive measure. And the Government of India has a program which says that the iron folic acid has to be given in a life cycle approach. That means it has to be given in all the life cycles. That has to be given to children, it has to be given to all the adolescent, it has to be given to pregnant women, lactating women, women of reproductive age group. Because in all these population group, anemia prevalence remained around more than between 50 to 60%. That means every alternate woman for that matter, or alternate child for that matter, is suffering from anemia. And the important challenges which we have noticed in the program, and we are making correct actions around this, is because under the National Nutrition Mission, very ambitious targets have been set. And the targets are, again, 3% annual decline. And the history says we have been declining by less than 0.5% per year. Again, very ambitious. And two issues have been, you know, kind of a flag. One is the issue of, you know, supply chain system. We are trying to improve the supply chain system for iron folic acid. This is the program which has not been monitored well. Programs which are monitored well, they get implemented, like a vaccination program.
You are saying that iron and folic acid tablets are being given. A lot of women and a lot of children actually are taking also, adolescent children also. Could it be that iron absorption capacity of Indian women and their bodies is low because of some reason?
What you are saying is there are the theoretical reasons. But practically, the observation is that the overall consumption of iron folic acid in the country is less than 20%. We have the data of the NFHS which says that the coverage of iron folic acid. I think to my mind we have not done well in iron folic acid supplementation. We have not monitored this program well. But now, you know, we are kind of putting all our energy in terms of making supply chain and improving the overall program management and making, you know, anemia problem as a visible problem.
So now with this comprehensive plan to, on the one hand, increase child sex ratio and on the other hand, improve nutrition indicators, let's hope we'll improve the general health of the community. Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Pan-India Expansion of Beti Bachao Beti Padhao Program. The participants were Dr. Ajay Khera from Ministry of Health and Family Welfare and Aditi Tandon, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on a website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.